Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our first week in a brand new series called Legacy. And that is exactly what you just heard, our prayer, and for what God is going to do and continue to do, man, in your life through this church. Amen. How many of y'all kind of fighting this congestion thing? Any of y'all out there fighting that? Look at everybody. Be healed in Jesus' name, for real. I've been, this thing, been messing with it all week with me. So even though I sound a little bit different, I'm okay up here, all right? So just know that, all right? All is well, but great to see you. And before we get into this message and this new series, I wanted to share a couple just things with you. We are 2 months into our three services, and what has been happening over the last 2 months has just been really just unprecedented for our church. We are seeing things that we have never seen in the history of our church in a short 4 years. And so I think it's always good, and I think it's always important that you know what's going on. And we try to do a good job of communicating and bringing clarity and trying to do a good job of celebrating what God is doing and celebrating wins. Amen, everybody? And so I want to just share this first, that we've just been seeing over the last several weeks just record attendance outside non-holidays, but now holidays, just our previous Easter record. I mean, it's just amazing what God's doing, and I think that's awesome. A couple stats I want to throw up to you just so you know what is happening. Around here, just in the last 2 months, we've seen 124 new families come and come to our church and check us out and see what is happening around here. I think that's awesome. And you may want to hold your applause because you may be clapping a lot here. So just hang with me, and you got a lot to be excited about. And so we've seen also, and this is such an amazing stat, from September 11th, again, when we started three services up till through last Sunday, this is where we get these stats from. We've also seen 84 people that are going and have gone through Growth Track. That means 84 people that are being discipled and lives being changed and people taking next steps in their journey. How amazing is God? Amen, everybody. It's incredible. And the stat that I get really excited about is in the last, and again, this is all in the last just 2 months, you guys. Real big deal what God's doing around here is we have seen 128 people make decisions for Jesus since September 11th. Yeah, and so the great number that we've seen just in 2016, we've seen now 405 people make decisions for Jesus. That deserves a hand. Amen, everybody. So if you're wondering, is your church making a difference, look at the person next to you and say, we making a difference. Yeah, we making a difference, and it's just been awesome. And I just a shout out to all of our teams, our pastors, our leaders, our dream team. Just so proud of these guys and making an eternal difference. It's what this series is all about. You know, we want to try to do four things real well in this church. You guys, we want people to know God. We want them to have an experience with God. It's not enough to have religion. You need a relationship. Amen. It's not about joining a church. It's about stepping into an authentic relationship with Jesus. And so that's our heart. That's our prayer. Then that we don't just stay there, but God wants to take you on a journey. Amen. That takes you from that place to finding freedom, finding freedom, finding freedom. That we find freedom. How do we do that? Is when we go through our small groups, when we get honest about the issues and the things in our life and just work those things out, and then going on the journey of discovering purpose. I love something that Mark Twain said. He said, there's two great days in your life, the day that you were born and the day you find out why you were born. And so I think that's real important. And then the last one is just making a difference. The ultimate fulfillment in your life is when you step outside of your comfort zone and you step outside of what you've known and serving and touching the lives of other people and making a difference with your life. So we just thank God for what he is doing. Amen? And so I want to start off in Psalm chapter 112, and I want to read this verse to you, and then we're just going to kind of break down legacy and what this means. But it says this, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. In other words, I'm not going to just keep everything that I'm learning, but I'm going to learn how to give my life away and learn and let that become who I am in a lifestyle that I live. And it goes on to say, who conducts his affairs with justice, surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. I love the part of this verse that just to me is powerful, that you can live an unshakable life. Like while the rest of the world is freaking out and going in chaos, man, when you know Jesus, you can experience an unshakable life. How many want to just continue to grow in the area of just being unshakable? Amen, everybody? Listen, you can't control the things that are shaking around you, but absolutely God can control what's happening in you if you allow him. And so I'm excited about and just continue on the endeavor of just being unshakable. That's a preacher's message right there, but I don't have time to preach just that, all right? But here's what I want to just encourage us this morning with is that if you don't define your life by purpose, and you don't figure out what it is that God has for you to do, I'm telling you, your problems will define your life for you. And so if you don't figure out your why I exist on this earth, it's easy for our problems to really define who we are and where we're going. And so that's why the Bible says where there is no vision, people will perish or they will cast off restraint. So here's what legacy is. Jot this down this morning if you're following along. Legacy is just simply this. It's where my life lives on. It's where my life, it goes beyond just earth. That God wants you to live your life in such a way where your life lives on. Here's what I believe about every person in this room right now. I believe there is something inside each and every one of us that desires to make a difference. And I also believe that there's something inside of each and every one of us, I think if we really think about it, that whenever it is for our time, when we breathe our last breath, that we want to know that our life has had meaning and that we leave a legacy and an impact for generations. How many can say, man, that's my heart? I want that kind of impact, yeah. And I think that's all of us in this room, and that's my prayer for us. But how do we do that? Well, Psalm 112 told us how we do that. And first of all, it's giving to something that will outlive me. And meaning this, that I'm going to find a place, I'm going to find a church, I'm going to find a cause, and I'm going to jump into that cause. And I'm going to give my life, giving to something that's going to outlive me. And I'm not talking about just money, but I'm also talking about your time. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your ideas and your abilities. Give it in such a way where it lives on, where it's not just consumed here on earth, but it shows up in heaven, where it makes a difference. Amen? Here's the other part of it, and how we do it is living so my life outlives me. And this really is the heartbeat of this series over the next few weeks, is that God, that we would live our life beyond us, that we realize if we're going to make an impact and leave a legacy, it's going to be because that we understand that our life is not our own, that our life truly belongs to the Lord. And I think if we can capture purpose, this will help us to solve, I think, a lot of our problems in our life. Now, Jesus is the ultimate problem solver, but I think what's important is that we understand, not all of our problems are going to go away. Jesus told us there's going to be some trouble that we're going to experience on this earth. But I think you have to have something bigger than your problems. You have to have something, a purpose, an understanding of why you exist. And it's why even over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about purpose and identity. I believe it's just hard to live this life unless you know who you are, unless you know the direction and the path that you're going. And so for some of us, our issues are just messing us up. We're having financial issues. We're having issues within our family and our marriage. We're having issues maybe on the job or relationally with friends or whatever that may look like, but they're earthly things. And I want to just kind of just give you a quick secret to helping solve your problems in your life, and that is to have something in your life that is bigger than your problems. And so when you do that, that's purpose. And you find out, this is why I exist. I exist for this. And so the goal, everybody, is not to live on earth forever. That's not the goal, because you ain't living forever on this earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right? And so that's not the goal. But the goal is that we would leave something behind that makes an impact, that touches the lives of people for generations to come. The Old Testament, the New Testament is really full of this concept of you and I being called to a place of making a difference. Look at the person next to you and say, we got to make a difference. Come on, tell the other person. Don't leave them behind, all right? That second person that you chose to be second. Don't let them, there you go. But it's we're called to make a difference. And so one of the number one metaphors of pastor in the scripture is actually shepherd. And most of your life isn't going to be on this earth, gang. The vast majority of your life is going to be lived out in eternity. So as your pastor, as your shepherd, I've kind of got two parts to my job. Is I'm always called to encourage you and to guide you toward Christ. Part of my job entails helping you live this life on earth. But the other part of my job is helping you to understand of what life's going to look like and to be lived out in eternity. Because eternity is a real thing. Amen. All right. And so it's a very real thing. And so here's the deal for all of us is that every single one of us will have our judgment day with the Lord, that we will all stand before Almighty God. And so I want to take a few minutes and just kind of prepare you for that this morning. I want to read this verse, though, first in Romans 14. It says, beginning in verse 10, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister?" Meaning, it ain't your business to judge your brother or sister. Leave it alone, all right? And it goes on to say, "Why do you treat them with contempt?" All right, meaning, or other words, why do you think how you treat people doesn't matter? Because it does. Amen, all right. "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord," love this part, "every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." And so meaning this, every one of us, man, are going to have that day where our knees are going to bow. We're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Doesn't matter what religion somebody else believes they have in their day, all right, where their knee will bow and they will say and confess that Jesus is God. That he reigns and he rules. And so what does this look like? What does this mean for me? You know, I remember being in school and being in college, and I remember studying for tests. How many remember enjoying tests you took? Lord have mercy, all right? And so, of course not. That's a silly question, right, Pastor? Yeah, don't ask me that. Yeah, but I, you know, the thing about it is how many were kind of like me sometimes? I didn't do this all the time, but I did do it sometimes. Come on, not before. You just cram it in. Just cram it in. Yeah, just like, yeah. We just like, we wait till the last minute, then we'll get ready, you know? And then there were some tests that I just kind of prepared for and just kind of got ready for. And man, I worked hard for those tests, right? And I would come in those test days thinking, baby, I slayed this. Like, I came in, I'm going to kill this test. I'm acing this thing. I'm going to show this test who's boss, you know. And at the end of it, man, my teacher's going to be impressed with me and my knowledge and probably come to me and ask questions. You know, who knows, you know, just kind of that attitude. I know, isn't that terrible? But nonetheless, I would take the test, and I remember getting my test on my desk, and it'd be a C-. Lord knows I worked hard for my C's. Anybody else work hard for your C's? Lord have mercy. So I had to come to the realization and be real honest that I don't test real well. And so I needed to get some help. And I did. I got some tutoring, so I learned how to study the right way. And so my GPA in college was near a 4.0. Glory to God. So I learned how to test real well. Amen. And so that's what I want us to do, is I want us to test well. And so I want to help you do that today, and I'm going to give you the answers. All right? And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to just give you a few questions that I do believe that will be asked of us in heaven. And I just want you to know, it may not be this exact language, everybody, all right? But it'll be somewhere along these lines. And the moment where, I don't know if it'll be said, you know, "Kyle, it's time for you to come up, you know, or Kyle, come forward, please." I don't know how it's quite going to go, but I'm going to try to give us a picture of what this is going to look like. Number one, jot this down. What did you do, first of all, with my son Jesus? What'd you do? Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sins so that you and I don't have to. Aren't you glad for that? But there will be some people who unfortunately will make the decision that they want to pay for their own sins. And heaven and hell are realities. And I want to be very clear on something. Hell is not a place that God sends people that he's mad at. Hell is a place that people will go that where they make the decision that they want to pay for their own sins. And I'm begging you, don't do that. Why? Because Jesus has already paid for our sins. He's wiped. He has cleared the account of things that we would owe through sin. He has canceled that account so that you and I don't have to pay. So just receive. And all God's looking for you and I to do is just to give our lives back to him. So don't go down that road. We don't want to do that. But our sins, all sins have to be paid for. But Jesus is the one who paid for our sins. How many are thankful for Jesus? Amen? Says this in Revelation 20, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small," I want you to watch this, "standing before the throne, and books were open." Notice that books, more than one, plural, it was open. And those books is a record of everything you and I have done, all the sins that we ever did, all right? But then it says another book was open. Everybody say another book. You're going to be real thankful for this other book. It says, "which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. So the books, you only want to be judged by the book of life. Everybody say the book of life. All right. So when we receive Jesus in our heart and we have that salvation experience and he is Lord of all, the Bible says that our name, your name, is written in that book, the book of life. And here's the cool thing about it. All Jesus, all grace, all the time erases those other books. So it would kind of be like this. You know, if my name were called and I'm in heaven, all right, Kyle, come forward, all right. First of all, ain't nobody standing with me, just me, all right? Your parents can't stand with you. Your friends can't stand with you, all right? You stand for you, all right? It's real important to know that. But it would be something like this. Again, it may not be exact, but I'm just trying to give you a picture. And they're going to go to the books, and they're going to look. And you know what they're going to find? They're going to find a lot of blank pages because nothing in there. And they're going to say, oh, we need to check the book. They're going to go check the book of life and look for Kyle Mills. Ah, there he is. And thank God my name is written in that book, so all the other books have been canceled and wiped clean. Amen, everybody? I'm thankful for that. And so knowing Jesus. So how do I make sure, because I know that's a question, how do I make sure my name is written in that book? Jesus said in Matthew 7 that not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Meaning, they kind of looked the Christian part, kind of did some things, but their heart was far from God. And Jesus went on to say, I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That part where it says, I never knew, is actually where we get the part of our four cups that are out there, knowing God. Because we want people to have a relationship and know him personally. That word know or knew in the Greek literally also just means this, to not know God in your mind, but to know him and serve him in your heart. To passionately serve and to know your God. So here's what the right answer would be. This is not in your notes, but the right answer, and this is how you would really just kind of answer, is that I knew him personally. He's my personal Savior. And if you answer that correctly, you're going to be invited into heaven. Pretty cool. That first judgment is all about just your eternal destiny. And the second judgment that we're going to look at is all about how you live this life on earth. All right, which I love this next part because I think it's helpful for every one of us. And so jot this second one down, and that is, what did you do with what I gave you? What'd you do with it? What'd you do with your time? What'd you do with your gifts I gave you? What'd you do with your talent? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the judgment one you want to stay at, all right, by the way. That each one may receive what is due for him, the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Jesus is coming, and when he comes back, he's bringing rewards with him to bless you and I back for, man, how we lived. And the difference that we made, I think it's pretty cool. He goes on to say in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, I want to make something real clear to us, because I think sometimes as Christians, we get this thing called grace and works confused. All right? Heaven is not something you can earn. Let me be very clear. Heaven is not something you can earn. It's all Jesus, all grace, all the time. And all you got to do is receive it. Aren't you thankful that salvation is free? Listen, you can't pray enough, sing enough, stand on one leg enough. All right? It's free. Everybody say it's free. All right? So it's free. Salvation is free. But once Jesus is in your life, and once you realize heaven is your home, now your life continues to matter even more because you are called to make an eternal difference in the lives of other people. So the right answer would be, hey, what'd you do with what I gave you? I gave my life away. All right, not in your notes, but that would be the answer that you would want to give. And so before Jesus, before you knew him personally, your whole life was all about coming to know him personally. Having a personal experience, finding Jesus so that you don't have to pay for your own sins. Amen. But once you find Jesus, everybody, here it is. Here it is. You ready? This is the best part. This is where it doesn't just end.
Because once you find Jesus, your whole life now is all about making a difference. Calling to not sit in a chair and hoping somebody else does it, but taking with whatever it is, whatever gifts you have, whatever purpose you have, whatever calling you have, and go making a difference with it in the earth and affecting people for the glory of Almighty God to make an eternal difference. That's legacy. Everybody say that's legacy. And you know what that is? That's with an understanding of living for eternity. Because legacy people realize they're on this earth for a short time. They don't live for earth. They live for making a difference for eternity in heaven. That's why I love this scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says he's made everything beautiful in its time. How many know God's done a pretty good job making everything pretty beautiful? Amen? It goes on to say he's also set eternity. Everybody say eternity. In the human heart. So whether you want to or not, you're going to have thoughts that you're going to think about what's after this life. Because God said, and I love this verse so much, because you know what I think it does? I think it can sober us up in the sense of helping us to realize what's most important and helping us understand, man, I'm here for just a short time, and the vast majority of my life is going to be lived out in eternity in heaven. And so I'm going to think about, man, what I'm doing today or what I'm not doing, man, is either adding, contributing, or hopefully not taking away. But what am I doing with my life that's going to make an eternal difference? And so here's what I think is important, that you and I make the decision that we're not going to live our life spontaneously, but that we live our life on purpose. We live our life intentionally. So not being spontaneous, but saying, man, I'm going to live my life being intentional with the things that God. I'm going to go from testing from C's and D's, because I had a few D's. Lord have mercy, I know. I'm gonna go from testing on that to learning how to test well so that I can grow and be all that God has for me to be. Amen? You ready for it? So jot this down. I will intentionally, because we want to be intentional, I want to intentionally give what I have. I want to do that. And God only holds us accountable for what we do have, not what we don't have. And so you got arms? Man, hug somebody. You got thumbs? Use them bad boys. Text an encouraging text to somebody. It's just a small example of how you can make a difference. All right? You know, I think so much about the responsibility that comes with this, what God has given us here as a church to do. You know, and as God continues to bless and to move and to grow this church, and guess what? It means a greater responsibility for us, because we are called to be a church that exists for the unchurched. We are called to be a church that exists for the spiritually restless of our city, something we take real serious. So we've got to pastor, we've got to lead, we've got to shepherd well. We've got to do that through Growth Track. We've got to do that through small groups. We want to make sure that people are connecting and people are growing. And if they're trying to settle their yesterdays, we want our small groups to help minister to those things so people can find freedom. And so we want people to go and to journey with God. And so we have that responsibility. Guess what else, church? We've got a responsibility as the local church to our city. Do you realize that God just didn't just think, oh, I think it's a good idea. We'll put it, Elevate City Church. No, he placed this church in this city for a purpose. For a purpose. And so we take it seriously that, God, what is it that we can do next? How can we get better? How can we grow? How can we reach more people? You know, and if you're anything like me in this sense, when you watch our local news, man, it bothers me to see the violence and the things that have been carrying on in our city this year. We're getting ready to reach some record numbers and some things we don't want to be reaching record numbers for. And I'll tell you very seriously, it's bothered me so much. The Holy Spirit in this year really put it on my heart to start being intentional about connecting with other leaders, community leaders. This past week, I had lunch with a very strong voice in this city, one of our community leaders. Why? Because I want us to be intentional. And as your pastor, we're not just going to sit by as a church and just, well, hope somebody else goes and serves and makes the difference. I believe in the power of prayer, but I also believe in the power of action. And we want to be a church that affects our social climate, our economic climate, and whatever other climate we can affect, we want to affect it in this city for the glory of Almighty God. So this pastor just ain't going to sit back and just hope somebody else or some other church steps up. No, we are the church. We are God's answer to the world. And so we must be who God has called us to be and not just wait on everybody else. We want to leave a legacy. We want to make an impact in our city. Amen, church? And so I pray that gets in you. Yeah, I pray it gets in your spirit That you realize that we're not just here to be here and take up some space, come to Sunday, no, but this is the rally cry. This is the halftime cry, getting you ready for Monday and the rest of the week to go make a difference in the world. And so we realize that. And the other thing we're doing is helping more and more coach pastors and other churches. Why? Because we believe in the local church. We believe the local church really is the hope of the world. And so if that's gonna be a part of God's plan, which it is, we gotta make sure pastors and leaders are healthy. So we're doing our part to help do that in this city and then abroad. And you're part of it. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. If Christ is in your life, you got it going on. You're rich. You're blessed. Again, I'm not talking about what you don't have. I'm talking about what you do have, all right? But that verse is powerful because here's what it's saying. So that your generosity would result in people knowing God. All right? So here's a few ways where we can be intentional with how we give. First of all, and these are a couple things not in your notes. Just want to give it to you. It's free, all right? And that is, be a percentage giver. Yeah, be a percentage giver. Be intentional with your giving. Choose to be a percentage giver. And, you know, Scripture calls us to the place of tithe. All right? Tithe is 10% of our giving. So God is saying, man, I want you to honor me with that. Offering is anything above that. And so I encourage you to be a percentage giver. And listen, we don't pressure people here. No, man, we just encourage people to ask God and whatever God puts on your heart to be obedient to that and his word, and then just do it. And so we encourage you to go to the Lord and ask him for that. Here's the other thing that we're doing for the very first time. I'm really excited about this, about being intentional. And that is on Sunday, December the 4th, we are having our legacy offering that day. And that's coming up. This is something that we are doing, something that is far beyond us as the local church, that we're going to be very intentional on this Sunday and give a gift away. And give a gift away during this holiday season that is upon us. Now, I want you to know that I'm not going to pressure you. I'm not going to manipulate you. This is why I'm giving this date ahead of time. So you can go home and you can talk with your family. You can think about it, pray about it. And then whatever God tells you, just do it. And then whatever you give, we're going to give it away. We will move at the pace of your generosity in this church. That's how we're going to lead in this church. All right? And so I want you to know that during, in this time of year is such an opportunity for us, and I'm going to tell you why we're doing this, because first of all, this is not about need. This is about great vision. This is about that we want to make an eternal difference for the glory of God. So two things your legacy, that legacy offering is going to do. So that'll be a Sunday. Again, we'll have our normal tithe, but it'll be above that, all right? And so it'll be going into two things. First of all, some local efforts within our city. Now, we as a church already give into things locally. All right, I'm going to share with you a few things in a few weeks, how your generosity is making a difference, city and nation and world, and it's cool what's going on, man, what you guys are doing. It's awesome, and you're going to see it. But local efforts, so here's what we're going to do. We're already doing the hard work for you. We're researching different ministries and organizations locally outside of different ones that we don't give to, all right? And we're researching to give in to the ones that are really making a difference. Here's what I believe about the local church, that we've got to do a better job of coming alongside ministries that already have boots on the ground and are doing things well. And so by saying that when we give a portion of that giving on that Sunday, we are going to go to these different ministries and organizations. And that week, and we're planning to have this on camera because we're going to surprise them, and we're going to have checks in hands to some of these ministries organizations, and we're just going to say on behalf of the people of Elevate City Church, we just want you to know how much we love you, how much we appreciate you. Thank you for what the difference you are making in this city, and we believe in you. Here you go, on behalf of you. Why? Because we want to see God reach this city, and we're serious about it, not just going to talk about it. And then another portion of that is just going to go into excelling the vision of this church. We are growing, and we are got a lot to pray about. And trust me, this pastor's praying. That's why I need you to pray with me. I don't know how long we're going to be here, but I know it's not real long, all right? And we're a year 4 as a church, and we're in a sublease here. This is not where we want to be, but we're moving at the pace, of God, and we're going to move at the pace of your generosity. And so that's going to go into our legacy fund for the future of whatever that is. I don't know whether it's buying land. People ask me all the time, so I'm just going to say it all. I don't know if that's buying land. I don't know if that's building a building. I don't know if that's renovating a building. I don't know if that's starting a campus before we ever have a building. Don't know. That's why God knows. And we're just going to go and follow God in this vision and where he has for us. So that's what it's going to go into. And I just want to say, y'all have no idea how big of a difference your giving is making. And we may not, you may not fully ever know the impact that your generosity is making until you're in heaven. I mean, it's just, you're touching so many lives. I want to share this story. One of our young women in this church that just started attending here a short time ago, a few months ago, and she had wrote in, and I wanted to share this with you with her permission. Since my early 20s, she said, I was an atheist and I didn't believe in God. I always felt that I was responsible for my actions. If I did good or bad things, I took the credit or the blame. She said, why would it be anyone's responsibility? I'm in control of myself. And there's just a lot of media about religious people doing bad things that solidified my reason not to believe. Appreciate the honesty. All right. I started going to Elevate City Church in support of a boyfriend who desperately needed some positive influence in his life and had preached God to me for nearly a year. What I did for him turned into what he did for me. I suffered from anxiety, depression, and had been on antidepressants for 11 years. I went to counseling and read numerous self-help books, but neither helped. Finally, everybody say finally. She said, I let go of control and I let God in. It was immediate relief. Having God make decisions for me and accepting that he is in control has made a huge difference in my life. I've immersed myself as much as I can now, reading the Bible, listening to Sunday services. I go to the Freedom Small Group. We have that in different Freedom groups in our church. And she said, and every Friday night I go to the Singles Group and then meet with a mentor every few weeks. And she said, talking to God is now a daily routine for me. She said, If I had to describe the people I've met at Elevate City Church as a whole in one word, it would be this: love. She said this, it's everywhere. Every person, every group, every message, I've never felt so loved anywhere. And no more antidepressants. Yeah. Amen, everybody. That's awesome. And can I tell you, that's Amy's story, and there's a lot more Amy stories in this church that are happening. And man, we thank God for what he's doing. And I'm telling you, church, because of your generosity, lives are being changed, everybody. So thank you for the impact and the sacrifice that you're making so that we can see eternity in heaven populated. Amen. I just think it's awesome. And here's another way you can be intentional. Lastly is random acts of kindness cards that we have. That you can get that out at the hub. And those are just the cards that say another way to show you that God loves you, all right? And I encourage, grab some of those. We're going to make many of those available throughout this season. People need hope during this season, so grab some. Go, you know, bless somebody's coffee, maybe at lunch today. If you're at the restaurant, you know, maybe bless a waiter, waitress, even more than you would. Leave that there. Let them know that God loves them and be a blessing. Here's the other thing. I will intentionally serve others. If you're a legacy person, you know, I just can't sit by and watch other people. I got to be a part. I got to play a part. I got to jump in. I got to be a part of what God's doing. A legacy person jumps in and makes a difference with their life. Jesus said in Matthew 20, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. I love this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Everybody say, I got to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Find your place. And I just want you to know this morning that, listen, maybe you're here, you just started coming, and man, you're figuring things out. Maybe you're, man, just wanting to get refreshed. You've been through some stuff. I want you to know, man, there's no pressure, all right? Just get filled up, all right? When we get that, we understand that. But for those that have been here for a while, and you've been hanging out, and you're not a part of the team, it's time to jump in. All right, be a legacy person. Let's jump in together. We got, you know, Christmas Eve services this year. We don't have Christmas Day services, Christmas on a Sunday. If you come on that Sunday, I'm not going to be here, all right? And so, but we're doing Christmas Eve services this year. It's going to be awesome. Going to be a totally amazing feel. Our team's been working on it since July, and so it's going to be incredible. And so we need you. We need your help. And it's like that old song, Put Me In, Coach. Y'all remember that? Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Be a legacy person. Here's the other one. Jot it down. I will intentionally share Christ. Why? Let's read this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're his ambassadors, God is making his appeal through you. God doesn't have a plan A or a plan B. You are God's plan in reaching the world. You are God's plan in reaching the world. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you're God's plan in reaching the world. You are God's plan in reaching the world. And here's what I believe. I believe all of you need to experience the thrill, hear me, of having someone who doesn't know God come with you to a service and them lifting that hand to receive Jesus in their life, meaning it from their heart. And here's what I give you permission. When you do that and you bring that person with you, when I say every head bowed and all eyes closed and ask them to raise their hand, you can have one eye open. All right, just to see. Because you need to experience the thrill of that moment. Of saying, man, you played a part in helping them meet Jesus. Everybody needs to experience that thrill. Jesus said, Luke 14, go out in the country. I want you to urge anyone you find, anyone, to come in so that my house may be full. You may not like a full house, but Jesus does. You may not like to sit by a bunch of people in the movie theater. I get that, but Jesus likes his house full, all right? So we got to keep that bringing culture to us. Why? 1 Timothy 6 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves. Or they will lay up, let me say it this way, legacy for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And here's the last thought that you want to jot down, that there is more to this life than this life. All I wanted to do today is just help us to think and to pray and see our lives and the scope of eternity. And then be real honest in asking ourselves, what am I doing to make a difference for eternity? What kind of legacy am I going to leave? None of us are promised tomorrow. This is not a fear tactic. This is an awakened tactic today that we go out and receive and be awakened to what the Spirit of God is wanting to do on each and every one of us. You're God's plan in reaching the world, gang. That's his plan. God's agenda is using you to reach the world. So, man, I want to be a legacy person. How many said, man, I want to be a legacy person? I'm gonna, come on, where's your hands at? I want to make an impact. I want to be a legacy person. So let's pray. Father, I pray. I'm gonna pray over that second judgment right there. That we would be a people, God, that make a difference with what you've given us. That, well, Father, when you look upon our lives, that we would be found faithful with what you've put within our hands to do. Every person, every man, every woman, every young person in this room has got talents, gifts, abilities. So, Father, use us in the name of Jesus. And I pray that we, this church, will be a legacy church that impacts generations to come, that will create a ripple effect across this great city, the state of Indiana, our nation, and the world. Because, God, we're hungry for more of you. We need you. And so, Father, I pray that we would be awakened today to the reality that we are your plan to helping to reach this world. In Jesus' mighty name. If you would, just keep your head bowed and eyes closed for this moment. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, man, this is your first step. You don't have to pay for your own sins. Jesus did that for you. All you got to do today is just receive it. And all across this room, with every head bowed and all eyes closed, in a moment, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. And I just want you to know, man, you're saying yes to him. Publicly, just with your hand. We're not going to do anything else. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you're here and you say, man, that's me. I want to receive that free gift of salvation. Not interested paying it. Sins on my own. I need Jesus and I want that relationship. On the count of three, come on, if that's you, then we're all going to pray together. I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. All over this place. Come on. Come on, real high. There you go. Proud of you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got you. Got you. Got you. Great, 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 great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Now let's pray. Come on, church, let's pray with these that have raised their hands. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. This is a new day. Fill me with your Spirit. so that I will know you and serve you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before we clap, before we do anything, listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, or you recommitted your heart to Christ today, do me this favor. Your connection card right in your worship guide, let us know. Let us know so we can pray with you, praying for you, and then I want to just send you something in the mail this week. But then also, I want to encourage you. Now take your next step, all right? The prayer is a journey now that's begun for you, so let us help you. Our growth track is happening today, 1:15, all right, at this church. And lunch, child care is provided, lunch for you and your kids. Man, just take the next step. Come on, you're going to become a legacy person now. And I want to encourage you to do that. Church, can we give all those that, man, received Christ today a great big hand? Can we do that, church? Come on, everybody. Awesome. We're proud of you.